We had studied last week, chapter 52. Interestingly, chapter 52, before the passage we studied, ends with a very beautiful, uplifting nevuah. Ma navu al heharim, raglei mevaser, mashmiya shalom, mevaser tov, kol tzofayich nas ukol, yachdav yiraneinu, pitzchu raneinu, etc., etc. This is all part of a haftarah. If I skipped from chapter 52, verse 13, to the next chapter, to chapter 53, and I picked up from, I'm sorry, and I skipped to chapter 54, I also have a haftorah. Rani akara lo yalada. Pitzchi, I think we read it twice during the course of the year. Rani akara lo yalada. Pitzchi rina v'tzali lo chala rabim, ki rabim b'nei shomimam, b'nei be'ula amar Hashem. It's a beautiful, beautiful perek. It also has passages that we incorporate into the Kabbalat Shabbat. And so there's a kind of retzef. There's a kind of continuity of prakim that we've been reading the last few weeks until last week, which are all incorporated into the haftarot of Nechama. And in contrast, in this section, from 52:13 onwards, is not a haftorah. It never makes it into the liturgy. And we have to have at least some thought about why it never made it into the liturgy. But let's read the text again, and then look at the key elements of the Parshanut, as we mentioned them last week. But again, I want to show you inside, and I want to expand on some of the things I said last week. So again, the text begins with the first three verses of the end of chapter 52. So the Bible begins and says, Hine yaskil avdi, yarum v'nisava gava ma'od. Again, I'm not necessarily going to translate every word, but we'll get the gist before we get to the parshanut, before we get to the interpretation. Yaskil avdi, the word yaskil, doesn't mean knowledge. Very often in Tanakh, vaya, you know, b'chol darko yaskil. Yaskil means to be successful. It's a synonym for yatzliach. Hine yaskil avdi yarum v'nisava gava ma'od. My servant will be uplifted. Kasher shamim walacha rabim, kein mishchat me'ish mar'eu v'torom v'yadam. Just as in the past, they had wondered about you, how downtrodden you were, and you didn't even look like a human being. Kein yazeh goyim rabim. At some point in the future, he will bring down many nations. Yikpitzu malachim piyem. People will stand in wonder. They'll open their mouth. Things that they had never been told, they're going to see. So this Eved, whoever he is going to go from some place where he's in a place where in the past they had shamamu alecha rabim. The people had wondered about you and had thought you basically down, and they're going to see you up. It continues in chapter 53. Who would believe what we've heard? Uzra Hashem al mi niglata. Who would have believed that the hand of God, the arm of God, was revealed on this person? Vayal kayonek lefanav. He starts to emerge like a sapling, the chashorish me'eretz tzia, like a branch out of a drought-filled land. Lo toar lo v'lo hadar v'nirei v'lo marev v'nech medeu. He was a person who had no visage. He wasn't charismatic. He didn't look beautiful. Nivzeh v'chadal ishim. He was nivzeh. He was treated with disdain. Chadal ishim. He was like a nobody. He was chadal ishim. He had no countenance of being a person. Ish machovot. He was a person full of pain. V'yadua choli, he was known full of pains and diseases. U'chemaster panim mimenu v'nivzev lo chashavnu. We didn't even recognize him. We didn't take him into account. Nivzev chadal ish machovot. Again, it reminds us very much of the Mitzora, of the person who is the leper, who is outside of the camp, abandoned. He is seen as a nobody. And he's isolated. Achein cholayenu hu nasa. But he carried our cholayim, which ostensibly means our diseases or our pain. Umachovenu svalam. And he bore our suffering. He bore our pain. It's unclear how to translate it. Va'anachnu chashavnu nagua. But we thought of him as like I said, a matzora, nagua. He's full of nega. He's full of disease. Muke Elohim mune. He is stricken by God and afflicted by God, a suffering servant. V'hu mecholal mipshainu. He seems to have been chalal. In this context, means mecholal, like you empty out something. Chalul. He was stabbed because of our sins. Midukami avanotenu, he was downtrodden because of our sins. Musar shlomenu alav, musar in the context of punishment, discipline. Ubechavurotonu yirpalanu, because of his chavura chavurot, because of his pains, because of his wounds, we are healed. Kulanu katzon ta'inu ishla dako paninu, we were like sheep, lost. Vashem hifgia bo et avon kulanu, and God directed our sin upon him. Nigas v'huna ane. He was oppressed and he was suffering. V'lo yiftach piv, but he was silent. Kasel atevach yuval. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. U'charachel lifnei gozuzeh, and to like the ram before those who shear its sheep. Quietly v'lo yiftach piv. Me otzer u'mimishpat lukach. He was cut off from the land of the living, because of the sin of his people, of Ami, of my people. He was given over, either literally or symbolically. He was ready to be buried amongst the evil, and together with the rich, which probably means he was going to be buried, whether with the rich or the poor, because when you die, it doesn't matter. Alo chamas asa, because of nothing he did. Volomir ma befiv. He's going to be killed, and he's going to be buried, but not because of any chamas that he did, not because of any sin he did, and not because of any deception. Vahashem chafetz dako hecheli, and God wanted to oppress him. Im tasim asham nafsho, if he will make himself like an asham, like the korban asham, like the guilt offering, yir'ez zera yarich yamim v'chepetz Hashem biyado yitzliach, and then he will see reward at the end. He will see long days, and God will give him zera v'chepetz Hashem biyado yitzliach, and what God wants in his hand will be successful. Me'amal nafsho yireh yizba b'dato yatzdik tzadik avdila rabim va'avo no tamu yizbol. He will carry and bear the burden of the sins. Lachein achalek lo barabim. Then, therefore, in the future, I will give him amongst the masses. Ve'et atzumim yichalek shalal. He will receive a portion of the booty. Tachat asher he'era l'mavet nafsho, because he was willing to give his life, that poshim nimna, v'hu chet rabim nasa, v'la poshim yafkia. And he was willing to carry the burden, the sin of the rabim. This is the text, very quickly. You understand very well why our good friends, the Christians, would have seen this in their tradition as, you know, exhibit number one, that the Bible here is prefiguring the life and times of Jesus as presented in a number of the Gospels and other books of the New Testament. And so
this chapter becomes a very, very significant part of the Jewish-Christian polemic from the very beginning, from the second and third century on, till today. I was watching a clip on online. Somebody mentioned, I don't know how many years ago this was, but that in Yerushalayim, some of the missionaries had a campaign. Every week, there was they quoted a pasuk from this chapter, and the first week, it said, Al mi midubar. Who is it talking about? Then the next week, there was another poster in the same neighborhood. This time it said, it gave like Al mi midubar with choices, like a multiple choice test. And then the next week, they had the same poster with X's throughout all of the choices. And finally, the last week, they said, who could it be? And of course, it says Yeshu HaNotzri. Of course, obviously, from the very beginning of time, of the creation of Christianity, Jews rejected this interpretation. So what was and what is the Jewish interpretation of this text? And as well as how do we deal with some of the quote-unquote problematic or at least to us, the way that we've been brought up, what we assume is problematic texts. So let's start again. So now this is the sheet that you also have in your chat. And basically what I'd like to do is to focus on a couple of things. I want to focus on who is the Eved. We're going to see four approaches. Secondly, I want to talk about the question of vicarious punishment. How do we interpret this notion that keeps coming back and forth, that, as the text said, again, the repetition of the phrase over and over again, Achein chayaleinu hu nasa, he carried our sickness, umachoveinu svalam, and he bore our pain. The word nasa and saval, which means to carry and to bear. Later on, when it said the phrase that he was put to death because of nothing he did, but God wanted to punish him, to oppress him, im tasim asham nafsho, so that he would be like a korban. And then again at the end, avonotam hu yizbol. He is going to carry their burden. And then finally, v'hu chet rabim nasa. He carried the sin of them. Again, so what do we make of this constant and the use of the verb nasa, bear, carry? What does it mean? Okay, so let's start with, and again, I'm not going to necessarily read every word, but again, I want to go. So basically, when we talk about who is the Eved, so that's what I focused on last week a bit. I pointed out to you, or I didn't, I just want to summarize. There's basically four approaches within the Parshanut. Within the Parshanut, four basic approaches within the exegesis. Who is this servant? We've seen before, as we've mentioned many times, in the other three servant songs that we saw earlier in the second half of Isaiah, and some of them were very clear what it's talking about, right? So if you looked in chapter 42, which was one of the first songs, Hein avdi etmoch bo, b'chiri ratzta nafshi, natati ruchi alav, mishpat lagoyim yotzi. That's talking about Am Yisrael, for sure. It's talking about Am Yisrael. And it talks about B'nai Yisrael as the Eved Hashem. I think also in 41, we went back to 41. Yes, verse 8. Ve'ata Yisrael Avdi, Yaakov Asher Bechartiha, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen. So It makes a lot of sense that here we're talking as well about Israel. And so this, in fact, is the first interpretation. Yisrael. Radak, Rav David Kimchi, one of the great commentaries, says explicitly, Hine Yaskil Avdi, HaParasha Hazot Ne'emra Al Galut Yisrael. This parasha was talking about the exile of the Jewish people. Vikara Oto Avdi. And Isaiah is calling him my servant. Kemosha Amar V'atem Yisrael Avdi Yaakov Asher Becharticha. That is what it's talking about, the verse I just showed you. It's talking about Israel. Amar Hine Yavo 8. There will be a time in the future, Shiatzliach. Even though today Israel is downtrodden and Israel is oppressed, in the future, Yatzliach Avdi V'yarum V'nisa V'gava Ma'od. He will be up and he will be taken and he will be brought up, etc. Okay? In addition, a number of other commentaries all interpret it as a reference to Am Yisrael. And here, for an example, is Abarbanel, living 200 years after Radak, in his first interpretation. Ulachein hadat ha'amiti shera'ui lachzik bo echad mishnei drachim. Okay, there are two ways to understand it in terms of what are we talking about. Haderecha echad hu maskim lemefarshim shahanivua hazot neemra al Yisrael. This is talking about the Jewish people. Shunikra bidivrei Hashem avdi. Kemo sheamar avdi Yaakov Yisrael avdi, as it says in Tanakh, Jacob my servant, Israel my servant. Ukvar yore al ze shelamala mize, and it points to that, Kinemar ki Hashem holech lifnechem. Right before chapter 452, verse 12, the very last pasuk says, God goes before you. V'zeh al Yisrael amru v'hechreach. And this is obviously talking about the Jewish people. God goes before them. V'achara parasha hazo ne'emra, right after this parasha, chapter 54, Ronia kara lo yalada. It's obviously talking about the Jewish people there. And therefore this parsha, which was said in the middle, chapter 53, okay? And therefore it is talking about Israel. Okay? So that is the first interpretation. It's talking about the Jewish people. This is the view of Radak. This is the view of Abarbanel. This is the consensus view amongst most Jewish interpreters today. Dat Mikra and many others, both secular and religious, except, and also many Christian readers today, Christian writers today. It's talking about the Jewish people from the beginning. Okay, and here's just a line from the Abarbanel's introduction to this passage. Aval Rashi, v'Rav Yosef Kimchi, u'beno harav David Kimchi, kulam pe'echad pirshu, hanevuah hazot kula al Yisrael. They all explained it's talking about Israel. That is approach number one. Approach number two, chelek me'am Yisrael. It's not referring to the Jewish people as a whole. It's referring to a part of the Jewish people. Hine yaskil avdi, says Rashi. Hine b'acharit ha'yamim yatzliach avdi Yaakov tzadikim shebo. The righteous amongst them. So it's not talking about Israel as a whole. It's talking about the righteous amongst them. That's the second approach. The third approach has three permutations. The third approach says, we're not talking about Israel as a whole. We're not talking about part of Israel. We're talking about a specific person from Israel. The most famous would argue that This is one of three. We're either talking about Yirmiyahu, or we're talking about, okay, so we're talking about Yirmiyahu, Rabbeinu Sadigon, and Rabbi Lezer Mibongsi, which was a commentary in France. That's one approach. And you can understand it. Why? Anyone who's ever studied the book of Jeremiah knows that Jeremiah did not have an easy life. He was thrown into jail. He was spit on. He was chased. He was almost killed. He was slapped. And so this person, who is described as someone who is very much a suffering servant of God, it would make a lot of sense that it's talking about that person. It's talking about, okay? And this is quoted in Ibn Ezra, for example. If you look, my cursor, if you look, V'hagon Rabbeinu Sadia, Piresh, Kol HaParasha, Al Yirmiyahu, V'yafe Piresh. It's a good interpretation. V'tam zeh, yazeh goyim rabim, b'fiv b'derech nevuato. When it says that he will bring down and afflict the nations, it's talking about through his prophecy. It also says that he's like a sapling that's going to grow. He was a katan. He was young when he started to prophesy. Okay, so this is the approach of Rav Sadia Gaon, who Ibn Ezra seems to like. The second person who is mentioned as a potential that we're talking about in this nevuah, the second person that we seem to be talking about is Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu HaMelech. If you remember, Chizkiyahu is a person who almost is killed by the Assyrian assault on Jerusalem. He's made fun of by the Rav Shakeh. Remember the taunting speeches that are made against Israel and Judah, against Judah. And so there are those, for example, Rabbi Yehuda ibn Jekatila, one of the great Arabic commentaries on the Bible that has just reached us in fragments here and there. He says that. Chizkiyahu. Others say it's a reference to Yoshiyahu, King Josiah, who was also a very righteous and special king. And of course, we all know Yoshiyahu died in battle, and Isaiah and Yirmiyahu saw that as like the end of the last great white hope to save the Jewish people. That's what Abarbanel says. V'aderech hashenit, shenir ali shenem raha nevuazot kulal Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda. It's talking about Yoshiyahu, King Josiah. The fourth approach, excuse me, the third amongst the idea that it's referring to a specific person, you find midrashim here and there that say it's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is called Eved Hashem in Tanakh. And so, who's the biggest Eved Hashem? Moshe. This is the second general approach. Third general approach. First approach, the Jewish people as a whole. Second approach, the tzaddikim amongst the Jewish people. Third approach, a reference to a specific righteous character in Jewish history. Jeremiah, Chizkiyahu, Yoshiyahu, Moshe Rabbeinu. The final approach, which you find, and which is startling because many people think, oh, that's only the Christian approach. But it turns out it's also a Jewish approach, which is to understand this as talking about the Messiah. This chapter is talking about the King Messiah, the ultimate redemption. Targum Yonatan, the Targum of Jonathan, which is a Targum, interestingly enough, a number of decades before Jesus died. So Yonatan writes, in translating the first verse of this section, Hine Yaskil Avdi, behold, my servant will be successful, translates Yonatan, Hayatzlach Avdei Meshicha, Yarum V'yizke V'yitkof L'chada. Behold, my servant, the Messiah, shall prosper. He shall be exalted and extolled, and he shall be very strong. So the reference is to the Messiah. There is a Jewish tradition going back before Jesus that understands this passage as being a reference to the Messiah, which would, of course, be very, you then understand why the Christians kind of latched onto this. If this idea was floating around, so it just adds to the flavor of what they wanted to do. There is a reference as well later on in the Bavli, hundreds of years later, that still retains this idea. Interesting, I gotta tell. The Gemara there is discussing what is the name of the Messiah? What is the name of the Messiah? Mashemo. So there's all kinds of different agadic suggestions. We get to this Mashemo, Devei Rabbi Shilo Amri Shilo. Shemo, Shenemar Ad Kiavo Shilo. Shilo. Devei Rabbi Yanai Amri Yinon Shemo. Shenemar Yehi Shemo Lolam Lifnei Shemesh Yinon. Shemo. Devei Rabbi Chanina Amri Chananya Shemo. Chanina Shemo. Shenemar Asher Lo Etein. Of course, it's great. Devei Rabbi Chanina says that his name is Chanina. Devei Rabbi Shilo says his name is Shilo. V'yesh Omrim Menachem Ben Chizkiyahu. His name is Menachem. Shenemar Kirichak Mimeni Menachem Meshiv Nafshi. It says that in the book of Eicha. V'Rabbanan Amri. And the rabbis say, Chiyura Debei Rebbe Shmo. He is the leper of the house of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. He is the leper of the house of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. How do we know? Shenemar, because it says in Isaiah 53, Achein Chalayenu Hu Nasa Umachovenu Svalam. Indeed, he bore our illnesses and he carried our pains. Va'anachnu chashavnua nagua. And we saw him as diseased. Make Elohim ume'ane. Who had been afflicted by God and suffered because God had stricken him. So you see that in the Talmud and the Bavli, you still have the interpretation of our chapter as being referring to the Messiah. This is an ancient Jewish tradition that was co-opted by our good friends, the Christians. But the fact that it has an ancient Jewish tradition is very powerful because it gives it, they didn't stam, they were working off an existing tradition. Now, it may be that because the Christians adopted it, as time went on, this idea becomes less and less prominent in Jewish parshanut circles. And maybe that's part of the reason why this was never included as one of the Haftorahs, because it was too sensitive, given the fact that there was an intense Jewish-Christian polemic going on at the time that they were formulating the customs of reading the Haftorah on Shabbat. Okay, the second part of what I want to discuss tonight is, what about, whatever it's talking about, whoever it's talking about, what about this business of he bore our sins, or he bore our pains. How do we understand that? Whichever interpretation. Does Judaism believe in vicarious punishment? Yes or no? So Molly is shaking her head and says no, because that's what she's been taught. And it's true that the thrust of Judaism, as we have been taught since being kids, and many passages in the Bible, is that Judaism does not believe in vicarious punishment, that one person suffers for the sin of another person and atones for the sin of another person. Even though there are passages in the Bible that seem to go in that direction, like this passage. So let's take a look at the two approaches within the tradition. Approach number one is no. So what do we do with the verses here? So here we have a series of moves that you find within the tradition. So let's read Radak. Radak is very famous here. Achein chalayenu, he indeed carried nasa. He carried our sins. Achein chalayenu hu nasa. He carried our sins. Hinei katav Yechezkel hanavi. He starts with a passage which is very famous. Chapter 18 of the book of Yechezkel. Hinei katav Yechezkel. If this was in English, I would have printed it in English as well. But we do not, at least I don't, I didn't have access in English to Radak online. Hinei katav Yechezkel hanavi ben lo yisa ba'avon ha'av va'av lo yisa ba'avon ha'ben. A father will not be punished. Make it a little bigger. A father cannot be punished for the sins. Make this whole thing a little bigger. Sorry. A father cannot be punished for the sons, for the sins of the father. A son cannot be punished for the sins of the father, etc. So, kol shekein, ish echad bi ish acher. So certainly, if Yechezkel says that a son cannot be held responsible for the sins of the father, certainly one person cannot be held responsible for somebody else. The kol shekein uma b'uma acheret. And certainly one nation cannot take the burden and the atonement for another nation. Im kein ma'hu chalayenu hu nasa. What does it mean? He carried our burden. He bore our afflictions. Micholel mipsha'enu. He was harmed because of our sins. Ubechavurato nirpalanu. And because of his pains, we are healed. Okay? Ve'enenu dome lezeh shamar Yirmiyahu b'sefer kinot. This is not like what Yirmiyahu said in the book of Eicha. Avonotenu chat'u ve'enam v'anachnu avonotenu savalu. Our fathers are gone. They sinned and they're gone and we're suffering. That is similar to what it says in the Bible, that God will bring the iniquities of the fathers on the sons, which is only if the children continue in the wicked ways. To my enemies. Okay? And so therefore, what are we talking about here? So therefore, says Radak, v'zeh sheyomru ha'umot. This is what the nations will say. This is not the truth. This is what the nations will say. Zeh sheyomru ha'umot. Achein chaleinu chaleinu hu nasah v'adomim lazeh hu divrei atzmam. This is what they misunderstand themselves. Lo she Yisrael savlu avon ha'umot. In no way, shape, or form can we believe that the Jewish people bore the sins of the nations of the world as a kind of scapegoat to atone for the world. Can't be. This is what the nations think. Elahim chashvu b'da'atam kasher yiru b'eit ha'yishua. This is what they think at the time of redemption. Ki ha'emuna shechzik v'Yisrael hi ha'emet. Because it turns out that what the Jews believed was true, he's sheker. It turns out that their belief is false. Yomru, I'm skipping a line. Lefi svaratam. They're saying to themselves, according to their logic, Imkein mahaya hatzar shayu sovlim Yisrael begalut. Why did the Jews suffer so much in exile? It couldn't have been because of their sin, because it turns out that they were right about God. And we, the Christians, who had peace and tranquility, it must be that they took our sins upon them, and it was like an atonement for us. They played this role. But that was a mistaken notion. That's not actually the true theology. It's what the nations of the world believe. So that's one approach. A second approach is Ibn Ezra, also rejecting the notion that there can be vicarious punishment. No way, says Ibn Ezra. He reinterprets the verse. Achein. Zeu rosh ha-pasuk, anachnu hayinu machli'im. It's not achein chalayenu. It's not that they bore the burden of our sins. It's rather, they were the target of our oppression. The pain is not the pain of punishment. It's the pain of the things that we afflicted on them. Zeu rosh ha-pasuk, anachnu Hayinu machliim. We were the ones who caused them grievous injury. Shayinu machivim otam. Va'anachnu chashavnua. We thought shu nagua. We thought that they deserved it. That's what we thought. But until we understand that really it was God who punished them for their sins, and had not, and we were just an agent to carry that out. Okay? So this is the interpretation of Ibn Ezra. And finally, in the most midrashic way, total rejection of vicarious punishment is Targum Yonatan. Remember, Targum Yonatan was the one who assumed that the suffering servant is the Mashiach. What about third and fourth generations? Yeah, that's the idea of the rabbinic tradition, which, you know, which says, Ochazin Maaseim B'Yadim. I'm not getting into that whole thing, but yeah. Look at Targum Yonatan. Look at how he adds to the text. What does it mean that the Messiah took upon himself or herself the sins of the people? Therefore, he shall pray for our sins, and our iniquities for his sake shall be forgiven us. For we are considered crushed, smitten of the Lord and afflicted. So he adds here, it's not that simply the Messiah carries the burden. He will pray for us. And he will pray that Hashem should forgive us. Because right now we're crushed. He shall build the house of the sanctuary, which has been profaned on account of our sins, which was delivered on account of our iniquities. And through his doctrine, peace shall be multiplied upon us. And through the teaching of his words, our sins shall be forgiven us. So it's a totally neutralizes the text. It's not what the text says, but it's a classic midrashic move to neutralize the text. So that's the general trend. But there is a tradition within the tradition, a strand, which says, yes, vicarious punishment does exist within the Jewish tradition. Not just, and obviously you could say, poked avon avot al banim, if you don't accept the rabbinic interpretation, you don't accept the rabbinic interpretation that it's just when the children follow in the bad ways of the parents. Rashi on Yeshayahu says, achein chalayenu hunasa. What does that mean? Aval ata. Now the nations say, anu ro'im, we see, shelo machmat shifluto ba'ulo. It's not because of some of their degradation and their evil that it came upon them. Ela miyusar hayu biyisurim. They received afflictions from God. Va'anachnu chashavnu. We thought hayinu surim shusanu ila makom. We thought that they were hated by God. V'hulo hayakein. Ela mecholal hayam mipshainu. They suffered because of our sins. Umeduka me'avanotenu. And says Rashi, ve'et poshim nimna, saval yisurim ki'ilu chata upasha. They suffered afflictions as if they sinned, but v'hu bishvil acherim nasa cheta rabim. They carried the burdens of the masses. The Jewish people were coming to atone for the world. Al yidei yisurim shabbat al yado toval olam. Through the suffering, they atone for the rest of the world. They, as a suffering servant, take upon themselves the burden of the world to release the punishment from going on all of the world. Wow. That's what he says. That's what Rashi says. I can't make it up. The Kuzari, Rabbi Yehuda Levi, in his exchange with the king, talks about how the Jews, so the Kuzari says the Jews are like a sick person. They're afflicted. And the Kuzari, the king says, Ve'ech yazeh mashal Yisrael. How could this be a reference to the Jews? V'hu amar, it says, Achein chalayenu hu nasa. He carried the burden of our sins. V'Yisrael lo matza utam mashmatzam kim v'amotam. Don't we believe, or don't you believe, that the Jews found their, they were punished because of their sins, not because of the sins of someone else? So responds the Chaver, Yisrael ba'umot, Kalev ba'evarim. The Jews amongst the nations of the world are like a heart. Hu rav chalayim mikulam. It's very sensitive. V'rav briyut mikulam. It can experience the most health, the most vigor, and also the most pains. Shehu b'chalayim matmidim apogim oto b'chol eit. The Jewish people are like the heart. They take upon themselves the burden of the whole body. That's his image here. That's his image here. Okay? And here you can look at it in the English. The heart is exposed to all sorts of diseases and frequently visited by them. Its temperament changes, etc. They all affect the heart while the limbs rest. Basically, we are the ones who kind of take upon themselves the burden of the whole world. That's what he says. Okay? Let me finish with the Gemara in Brachot. Gemara in Brachot says, seems also to indicate that there is a notion of vicarious punishment within the tradition. Amar Rava, v'itemer Rav Chisda, Im ro'eh adam shiyisurim ba'im alav, yifashvesh b'ma'asav. If a person sees that he is being afflicted with suffering, he should do a cheshbon ha'nefesh. He should internally ask himself, did I do something wrong? Is God trying to give me a message? Pishpesh v'lo matzah. If he didn't find anything that he did wrong, yitle b'bitul Torah. He should say, oh, it's because of Bitul Torah. V'im tala v'lo matza. And if he looked at Bitul Torah, and it turns out he wasn't a Bitul Torah, he wasn't wasting time. B'yadua shel yisurim shel avahem. These are sufferings, afflictions of love. What are afflictions of love? Afflictions without any legitimate reason. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Schor, Amar Rav Huna. Kol Shakarsh Baruch Hu Chafetz Bo. The person that God loves, Midako B'Yisurim. Shenemar V'Hashem Chafetz Dako Hecheli. God wants to, God, the person who God delights him, he oppresses him with suffering. Very strong. Very strong. But in this context, the Pnei Yeshua, one of the great Achronim, commenting on this Gemara, he says, I don't understand this. It says, if you looked for a sin, b'yidua shi'isurim shel ahava, these are afflictions of love. Upirish Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyasro b'yisurim, God afflicts you with suffering, below shum chet v'avon, without any sin on your part, kedei laharbot scharo, in order to increase your reward in the world to come. So says the Pnei Yeshua, ein li t'moa ala chefetz, says, I don't understand. Akati mato elet yeshlo l'kadosh baruch hu. What is God's purpose? La'avi al hatzadik b'yisurim, below shum avon, to bring upon the righteous person suffering without any sin, in order to give him more reward in the world to come. He says, that's cruel. People don't do that, right? I don't afflict my child so that, oh, I'm going to give him a candy later on. That's terrible. He says, what's the point? So he says, Yesh lefaresh od binyan acher. Dotana yisurim shemeviya kadosh baruch hu latzadik. The suffering that God brings on the tzaddik without this, hainu kedei lemarek avonoteim shel Yisrael. The real reason is to cleanse the sins of the Jewish people. Kedeita b'Sanhedrin, like it says in Sanhedrin, that God brings sometimes yisurim, suffering on a righteous person. If he had brought it on the average person would crumble. He would leave God. He would abandon religion. But God brings it upon this, litovat Yisrael, for the good of Israel. Nimtza kevin shezeh atzadik zika et harabim. He's mezake the rabim, as we say in Yiddish. He somehow brings merit to the community. Hare zechut harabim talui bo. And therefore he will get a great portion of the world to come. So, the Pnei Yeshua here is interpreting the Talmudic passage as, yes, there are times that the righteous suffer, not because of anything that they did wrong, but somehow, vicariously, they take upon themselves, they absorb all the sins of the Beinonim, of the regular people, to be able to merit, so they, through their merit, the Jewish people are cleansed. Again, now this is a wild, wild notion. It flies in the face of much that we've been taught as kids. But I do want to point out that it exists within the tradition. And so this chapter, till today, is studied and examined and etc. For those who have time, you know, if you go back and read the introduction to Faith After the Holocaust by Eliezer Berkowitz, he also has a discussion there about the suffering servant as the Jewish people, and you'll see how he uses this term, this idea of the suffering servant there as well. Again, but that's more for Holocaust studies and Holocaust theology. So I felt, even though we had studied this parak last week, I went too fast. I felt I owed it to you to look so that you at least have in your arsenal, you have the major outline of the major approaches to this perek. Again, even though I don't do a lot of parshanut in this class, but it's important here, this was a very important perek, to at least be aware of the history of the exegesis on this perek throughout Jewish history. Until today, people struggle with the meaning of this perek. Im Yirtzeh Hashem, next week, we will go back to the pleasant haftarah of Rania Kara Lo Yalada, and we'll try to do that chapter 54 in depth. I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbat. Again, our minds, we hope for good things to hear from Israel after such a difficult week with what happened with the children, the Bibas family. And let us hope that the rest of the hostages who are alive certainly will come out alive from Gaza speedily. Shabbat Shalom.